Bruchim Aboyim to the ninth in the continuing series of lectures, Shi'urim, on the part of the Guide for the Perplexed, the Rambam's Moreh Nevuchim, which deal with the Tamei HaMitzvahs, the reasons that are underlying the commandments. We're going to now begin with the 32nd chapter, that's Perek Lamed Beis. It's in the third volume of the Moreh Nevuchim. In the Schwartz edition, which we've been using the entire time, it appears on page 532, Perek Lamed Beis. Okay, we'll read and translate from the Lashon HaKodesh, and you should know that chapter 32 is a very, very central, perhaps the central chapter in the Tamei HaMitzvahs, because it is in this chapter that the Rambam is going to basically lay out his fundamental thesis as to the what the Rambam believes to be the Kodesh Baruch Hu's rationale, underlying reasons for a good majority or a very, very good part of the commands which we see in the Torah, in the Chumash. Perek Lamed Beis, 532. Says the Rambam, Kasher tisboinim b'masim elokim, when we reflect upon acts of God, divine acts, claimar hamaisim ativim, in other words, when God acts in nature, yisba'u lecha mehem omas hachesed, it is apparent God's, I guess, his cunning graciousness. And I see on the bottom here, Professor Schwartz translates his wily, his wily graciousness, his cunning. Shalaloyav chachbasai of Kodesh Baruch Hu and his wisdom, bebriyas balechayim, when he created all different types of living animals, diruk tnuos hayivorim usmichusim lazeh, the way he reigns in a hierarchy or on different levels, the movements of the different limbs and their proximity one to another. Once again, the Rambam is harping on the same theme. Just as one can rationally apprehend the logical structure of the natural world, so too, says the Rambam, one can apprehend the rational structure, the rational, what we call anthropological structure, which constitutes the basis of the commands for the mitzvahs. In other words, what the Rambam basically is doing is that philosophical, theological anthropology and natural science work upon the same premises, the same principles. So the Rambam understands, and I also want to make the point too, the Rambam understands that the Tamei HaMitzvahs, which is a rational way of looking at the anthropology of the mitzvahs, of the commandments, of the religious precepts, is something which the Rambam, and the Rambam has spoken about this in the previous chapter, chapter 31 and chapter 32, it's something the Rambam understands is going to be very difficult for people to understand, to accept. So because of this, the Rambam is constantly going back to the analogy with science. Says the Rambam, just like in science, when we look at the natural world, we automatically and we naturally, right, assume the rational structure and the rational understanding of the natural world, so too, says the Rambam, there should not be any really distinction when we look at the mitzvahs, the commandments of the Torah, and understand them within their rational, conceptual framework. So once and so here we too, the Rambam first goes back and elucidates how things work in a hierarchy of logical structures and developments. And the Rambam says that in fact, actually, this concept, which is so natural, in the case of natural law, right, is something which is easily applied vis-a-vis a gezeirah shavah, right, a commensurability, when we take an anthropological look at the precepts themselves. So the Rambam is going to take an example of, in fact, the way in which we see a Kodesh Baruch Hu's cunning graciousness, right, in which he created the world. Now, the Rambam is going to do this by examining, I guess, the nervous system and the movements of the limbs and the muscles. Today, I think people would actually take the eye as an example of something which is somehow miraculous, but I guess the Rambam understood that the sinews and the nervous system and the moving of the limbs was something which was held up as an example of the very deep and generous divine wisdom with which the world was created. We see that God's wisdom can be seen one step after another step, one level to another level. I guess the Rambam also probably wants to speak about the levels of the muscular movement of the nervous system, also because it's actually a structure involving several hierarchies, which is, in fact, in a certain sense, the Rambam is going to find commensurable to the structure of the mitzvahs. So an example of this is actually the hierarchy of movements and the proximity, the relative proximity of the limbs. So the front part of the brain is very, very soft. The back part of the brain is very hard. It's harder, right? Now, if you take the spine, it's even harder. In other words, basically, the brain and the spine, which comes from the brain, is part of the nervous system. So the front part of the brain is very soft. The back part of the brain is harder. The spine is even harder. And as the spine goes down and continues, it becomes increasingly hard. Now, of course, the nerves are actually the utensils by which things are both felt and by which movement takes place. Those nerves are used only in sensory perception, in other words, to perceive things. So, for example, those movements, which are actually not very difficult movements, but actually very easy, could go in hanos ha'apaf v'alechi, a person, I guess, moves his eyelids, or he moves his cheek. So they come from the brain, because, you know, heref ayin, to wink, I think Chazal actually used that as sort of like the quickest movement possible, and since the movement is very, very quick, and immediate, and very easy, so therefore it comes from the part of the brain which is actually very soft. Of course, actually, when we speak about limbs, in other words, I assume the Rambam would not consider the eyelids to be limbs. When we speak about moving hands, moving feet, moving the real limbs, so these nerves don't come directly from the brain, but in fact actually come from the spine. But of course, a nerve which comes from the spine is basically rather soft. And how can something soft move a limb which is very, very hard? Basically what happens is there's a cunning graciousness in this creation that the initially soft a nerve becomes increasingly hard. And then it becomes hard, and of course it's filled with flesh, and it turns into what's called muscle. So therefore it turns into a sinew, right? So therefore the sinew is actually connected and to the bone. So therefore when it comes to sinew, it curls itself around the limb, and because of that, the limb is able to move itself. So basically, what the Rambam is saying is that there's a transformation from hard to from soft to hard back to soft, in order to make it possible to move the different limbs. Since the Rambam, I'm giving you this example, because there are many examples. This is the most obvious example in the and he refers to to Olios Haivorim, the purpose of limbs, right? The book of limbs, which written by Gallus, I guess. He kula b'chuveres peruv yudu l'mishim is boide b'abedas b'kachas. I mean, you look at this as the Rambam, it's rather obvious, the natural law, which is part of the divine cunning, in order to make possible the movement from the entire spectrum of the body, from the eyelids until the limbs. Okay, now that the Rambam has convinced us that this is a very natural way and rather obvious way of looking at the body. So says the Rambam, right, is that, of course, the Rambam gives another example too. He speaks about a little child nursing. For example, balechayim, you know, smaller animals which have to nurse. Because when an animal is born, it's very, very soft. You can't have hard food. Therefore, the animal is given, there's a possibility that it nurses in order that the animal should be able to absorb lighter food. Okay, in other words, the Rambam is basically, once again, giving us rather obvious examples how, in fact, actually, a Kadosh Baruch Hu will go from hard to soft. But basically, what is the bottom line is? Now, the bottom line is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, in other words, I'm going to ask a question. So why didn't you make the baby hard? Or why didn't you make the person's feet soft? Or, in other words, there seems to be an arbitrariness. Hard, soft. In other words, why does the Kadosh Baruch Hu have to be cunning? So the answer is that I guess when kids are born, they have to be soft. So because they have to be soft, we have to basically create or design the entire natural system, right? Because we don't create a baby which is hard. A baby is born when it's soft. And limbs, of course, are heavy. They're not light. And therefore, since they come from the moa, from the brain, which is soft, because the brain also has to, in fact, actually operate the smaller limbs, so because of this, it's necessary to service limbs. In other words, we have to service nature. We can't say create an alternative nature. We have to service nature itself. This is the Rambam's main theme. The theme is don't say, well, don't make it soft, or don't make it hard, and therefore who you need is all this complex apparatus. Says the Rambam, we begin with Maseil, with tradition. It's already soft, it's already hard. And everything has to be adapted to that situation. So it's very interesting, I mean, call this an evolutionary point of view. The fact is that the design of nature, in a certain sense, is adaptive. It adapts itself to the reality of that with which it has to interact and sustain. That's what the Rambam is saying. So the bottom line is that nature is not arbitrary, but rather acts on in an efficient way in order to deal with what it has to deal with. So, given that fact, right, we can now look at the mitzvahs. B'doymel on Hagazois, I'm now on page 533, the second paragraph of the third line. B'doymel on Hagazois, mamish me'eis oisei manik izgadav yisroim en bo devom rabin b'sher aseinu. In the same exact way, mamish is the Rambam, the really same exact way, things happen, right? Right? Or, in other words, we see things are commanded in the Torah. You can't go from one extreme to another extreme simultaneously, right? Just like you can't go from the brain, which is the paradigm of something which is soft, to a limb which is hard, right? Immediately. There has to be a sort of like a hierarchy going from soft to hard, to harder to hardest. Or, for example, when you want to feed the baby, the food comes in when it's hard into the mother, but then the body somehow breaks it down and makes it into something soft, into milk, with which the young kid can nurse. So, too, when it comes to people, says the Rambam, you can't take a person from one extreme to another extreme in a quantum jump, but rather things have to be more or less continuous. In other words, a person cannot immediately leave any type of cultural environment, any type of environment which he finds himself. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu sent Moshe Rabbeinu to make us into a Mamlechus Kehanim, right, a kingdom of priests, for a Kadosh and a holy nation. Of course, how do we become a kingdom of priests? We become that by knowing him, right? With a capital H. Like it says in the Torah itself, right? I've come to make it known to you, God is the true God, true Lord. There's none beside him. The Rambam there was basically listing Pesukim where the central verse is Yediyah. In other words, the purpose is really intellectual knowledge. But you can't come from an environment which is very far from intellectual knowledge. A person is enmeshed in a totally alien environment. Expect the person immediately on the, you know, with a quantum jump to come to an intellectual height which he knows God intellectually. This Masa Klil Avedosa, you can't expect the person, right, to therefore to devote himself to worshipping him with a capital H, like it says, La'al v'chol v'avchem v'adam shanokechem v'zoi stavoidu. Now in that time, says the Rambam, what was the culture? What was the mindset? The mindset was idolatry. Basically, how did people worship what they considered to be the pagan god? They worshipped him by sacrificing animals in temples, where they place all different types of tzureis, of different types of symbols, I guess, that they would worship, or they would direct their worship to. L'shtachavoyislehem, they would bow down to them. L'haktir k'teiras efneim, they would burn incense, right? Hayereim v'sakfonim ayuboisim yobim dafka noshim is maslim klil eshegos oisim mitoshim hasurim l'kachavim. Those people who were, that's called fear, had fear, divine fear, were those people who devoted themselves towards serving in the temples that were built to worship the stars. Kefish is bound, like we explained, the Rambam has already explained this in previous chapters. He said he read about this in the book of Sabbatian in agriculture. A person who is used to a natural culture, a Kodesh Baruch Hu, right, could not do away with all these pagan type of rites. He couldn't do away with the temples. He couldn't do away with the worship. Kodesh Baruch Hu was not going to come along and nullify the notion of religiosity as people knew it at that time. Says the Rambam, I'll give you an example. This is how a Navi came along and said to people, God has commanded you, you shouldn't pray to him. You shouldn't fast. You shouldn't supplicate him at a time of need. What did you do? You should sit and contemplate. You should intellectually contemplate. A person would say, I'm declaring a new form of worship, which is intellectual contemplation. People would say, that's crazy. Who am I praying? Who am I thinking about? It was people naturally understand that to serve God, right? A person, in fact, has to supplicate, has to fast. In other words, these are part and parcel of what people associate with religiosity as feelings. You have a question?
I'm hinting that really would be
lechachim. Pass for Shalom.
He's saying it's a muscle.
I think he's saying, it's not a question with Chachila. I think the Rambam was not coming to say what was Chachila, what's with the Yev, but it was one say prayer, one say pastor. The Rambam is saying is just like even today, people would have no sense of any spiritual or religious connection with a God, right? Except through prayer.
Right.
And if a Navi would come and say, I want people to basically focus intellectually and think and contemplate, people would not identify this in any way with any type of religious service. So therefore, too, at the time when the Jews left Egypt, Mitzrayim, if Kodesh Baruch Hu would come along and introduce a new form of worship, which people up till now had not any religious sensitivity to, even though this religious sensitivity was misdirected towards a pagan belief, right? This would have been impossible. That's what the Rambam is saying, right? I don't think the Rambam is implying that we should all, you know, drop our, you know, sidurim, you know, and contemplate. But the Rambam understands that, in other words, there is a natural anthropological sense of religiosity, right? And the divine commandment cannot do away with it, but rather has to accept it and work within it. Okay, that's what the Rambam is saying.
So when Heschel writes about the Tevim originating with ancient pagan festivals, that's okay.
The Rambam has already said this. The Rambam has said, right, the Rambam has already said that. I mean, Stravinsky's Rite of Spring is a proof that we haven't really gotten so far from that either. But in any case, the Rambam has already said this. But we're going to see how the Rambam is going to develop the thing. The difference, of course, with Heschel is Heschel, once that is made, Heschel regards it now as still being primitive. In other words, we're going to see that the Rambam is going to... The Rambam is saying something, I think, which is a little bit much deeper and much more direct. But anyway. L'chein hishir yis'alas minei avoyas ha'elo ve'avirim yoysim nevroim l'dvorim demyoyne she'en lehem ma'os amisis l'yoysim al'isal. So what did the Rambam do? He took these rites and he transferred them from things which are basically imaginary, illusions, have no truth, and he directed these things. He used these rites, and he made use of them in directing the worship to Kosh Baruch himself. But so what God did is he took what was part of the religious culture and used it as a base by which people at that time could worship a Kosh Baruch and worship the true God. Therefore, the Rambam, the Kosh Baruch, commanded us to build a base on Mikdash, Rosalim Mikdash. Shiyah mizbeach l'shvay, to build an altar for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mizbeach adam atasali. Now the Rambam is emphasizing the li and the li to me. In other words, he's not telling people build a Beis HaMikdash and do what you want. Or he's not telling people build a altar and do what you want. He's saying build for me a temple. Build for me an altar. In other words, don't build the altar for him with a cat with a small h. Build it for me with a capital M. Because me gets a capital M too. In other words, basically, I mean, the Rambam's here is, you see, he's really learning very nicely in the Pesukim. V'asu li mikdash. Mizbeach adama taseli. In other words, take all of these things, right, and direct them towards me. V'shakob in yali. Adam Yaakov mikem korban la'Hashem. The korban should be for God. I mean, if it says in the Chumash Korban, we understand it's for God. But the Rambam is saying the emphasis of the pasuk is bring the Korban for me for a Kodesh Baruch. And prostration should be to God. Right? And the Akhtara, the burning incense, should be in front of him. And of course, there are explicit commandments not to do these things for any other, for any heathen God. Okay. In addition to this, there's the Rambam. They should serve me as priests. Just like the Rambam said above, that they were people who devoted themselves, right, to service, to pagan worship. So too, the Rambam said, "V'kionu li." Once again, Lashon li for me. In other words, the Rambam is saying the catchword in both Exodus and Leviticus is the li. In other words, these things should be for me. And of course, he gave the priest special rights and merits. No, so basically the Rambam gave the priest special rights, so therefore they should be able to, you know, to devote themselves, right? Both to be in his house of worship, and also to the sacrifices. Elus chuyas halavim v'akehanim. Says the Rambam, these are the special privileges that the Levim and Kehanim get. We give them tumah, we give them maislas, we give them, you know, special towns, right? In other words, all these things arise to enable people to devote themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to the temple service. Okay, B'Omas Chesed Aloiki, says the Rambam, conclusion with his cunning, with divine cunning. Husak Shenim Chazecha V'Nazar, you see, he was successful, because the fact idolatry was blotted out. V'Zbasis HaYisoyin HaGodol Amiti B'Mun Laseinu, and was established this important central theme right in our faith. And this is the existence of God and his unity, his uniqueness, but I think is properly translated as incorporeality. And the fasha, that was very interesting. And the fasha is l'nitov lo yicharadu mipnei bitl apulchanim shiom v'hukalim aleyem v'shalo hikil pulchan zulasa. In other words, basically, Because of that, people, you know, didn't freak out when, you know, without the loss of temples. It was basically Kadosh Baruch Hu was able to engineer a revolution and an evolution that people, you know, that the world passed from a state of idolatry to the worship of the true one and incorporeal God. Okay, now, so this is the Rambam's central thesis, that just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu has used a divine cunning in engineering the body in a way in which it's efficient and can operate, so too, right, the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the Jews the Torah in order that the Torah can efficiently, right, take what is given as part of the human psyche, the human anthropological reality and culture reality, and change and transform people's consciousness from that of paganism to that of monotheism. That's what the Rambam says. Okay, now, of course, I mean, the question is that this is obviously rather shocking. The Rambam realizes, and we've seen already that the Rambam has actually raised this issue before. I mean, the issue before was actually raised a little bit of a less shocking thing. How could we say that there are underlying rational reasons for God's act? So that was actually what's called semi-shocking. So the Rambam, we see exactly in the Mir Levuchim that the Rambam, you know, life imitates Torah. In other words, namely that what? Is just like God uses a type of cunning of graciousness, a gracious cunning to evolve things and to deal with the notion of human nature. So the Rambam, in the writing of the God for Perplexed, understood the nature of his readership, understood the readership would actually be very shocked, and the Rambam himself had to use a type of divine cunning in order to somehow, like, break the reader into a totally different mindset. So this is what's called life imitating the guide, namely that, in fact, the Rambam is actually using a cunning graciousness, which is actually developed over several chapters here in this third section, in order to somehow inculcate in his reader this tremendous concept, a novella, that in fact, actually, the Torah's, the precepts of the Torah, are part of a divine cunning which engineered an anthropological revolution to bring man from a paganistic culture to the belief in the true and one God. Now, again, the Rambam is going to have to assuage our fears. He says, Yodayani, I know. The Rambam is not stupid, I know. I mean, the Rambam has said in chapter 31, page 530, I says, there are people, yish anashim shekashalahem. It's difficult for them, giving, you know, reason for the mitzvahs. Here too, Yodayani, says the Rambam, I know. Shebechrech tirata davshecha. Now the Rambam is going to be a paradox. You're going to step back. Right? You'll be shocked. Vihila risha minyanzen. You wouldn't think about such a thing. It's shocking. So yiksha lecha. It's going to be very difficult for you, says the Rambam. Bilvavcha tishalo yisein. You're going to ask me in your heart. This is why ask me in your heart. Obviously, because the Rambam is probably writing for people who are after his lifetime. You're going to ask me this. You're going to think about it. But Taimali, you're going to say it to me. And the Rambam even quotes the person. How can it be that things, commandments, prohibitions, acts, detailed acts, very detailed acts, that stem, that originate, bizmanim kavuim, at specific times in history, and basically these things are intended for totally different things. They have totally different purposes for something else. And Kodesh Baruch Hu is basically using sort of like a roundabout way in order to bring this to what's called Kavanah Rishayna. In other words, what Kodesh Baruch Hu is doing is he's using a roundabout way. In other words, what he's doing is he's taking things which were intended for a totally different purpose, and somehow he's directing them, right, as an indirect way of bringing us to what really is his main purpose, which is to bring us to his worship. In other words, why is God not commanding us directly, but why is he commanding us indirectly? In other words, called kavanah shaina, kavanah shlila. I'm using the two expressions, the primary intention and the secondary intention. In other words, why does not God command us based upon his primary intention? Why does God take something which was basically meant for something totally different, and God commands us based upon that secondary intention, and uses that secondary intention as a means to bring us to the first intention? Why doesn't God just directly command us to fear him, to worship him? Why does God have to take things which are meant for something totally different, and for man to follow this secondary intention in order, right, that eventually the first intention should be reached? In other words, why does God directly command us? Why does God somehow indirectly, this is called Kavana Shliya, why does God give us somehow a secondary target as a roundabout means for reaching what is the primary target? That's the question. Says the Rambam, Shema Eifus Tshuvascha Asher Tase Belipcha Es HaChoyli Hazeh Yizgalo Lecha Shema Shiras Lecha Emes. First of all, Rambam says, I'm going to give your answer, an answer to you, to me, it's going to be an answer to you. It's going to take away your sickness. What do you mean your sickness? And the Rambam accusing his readership of being sick. Rather, the Rambam is saying the Rambam understands that any frame of mind, which is not logical, is obviously a form of sickness. In other words, and the Rambam says, I'm going to reveal to you what is true. First of all, the Rambam is going to say, let's look at the Torah itself. Before, in other words, you have a basic theological question. Why can't God do whatever he wants directly? Why does God somehow have to, you know, make amends or make peace or compromise with the realities of the world? Now, of course, you could have asked that question at the very beginning. Why did God have to, for example, make heavy limbs? He could have made light limbs. Or why did God make babies who could only digest soft milk? He could have made babies that, you know, can swallow nails. So, but the Rambam says, okay, fine. You didn't ask that question in nature. That was obvious. I didn't have to allay your fears and all your different types of psychosis when it comes to understanding the natural order. But now, says the Rambam, right? I'm going to show you exactly what I mean from the Torah itself. Right? Mamish. Says the Rambam, I'm going to show you something which is exactly the same issue which the Torah speaks about explicitly. And it says when the Jewish people left Egypt, left Mitzrayim, so the verse says, V'lnochem derech Eretz Plishtim. Kodesh Baruch Hu did not take them directly to Eretz Yisrael through the land of the Plishtim. Kikorevu. Now, meaning that, why did he take them directly? Why did Kodesh Baruch Hu take the Jews to Eretz Yisrael through the land of the Plishtim? That's route one. That's the easiest route. Why do you have to take them a roundabout way? Says the Pasuk, the Jewish people went to Rechdel Yisrael, they confronted the Plishtim, and they threatened them with war. So the Jewish people would have remorse. They would have charata, they would regret the fact that they left Mitzrayim, left Egypt, shove Mitzrayim, they go back to Egypt. So what did the Kodesh Baruch Hu do? It says, Vayasev Elohim, God made them go a roundabout way. As Am Derech Amid Bayamsu. In other words, basically, God should have taken them what's called Kavada Lishayna, right straight to Israel. What did he do? They went around in a way. They went all the way around. Okay, says, Kishem Shehita Oysab. So what do we see? We see that a Kodesh Baruch Hu, God, sometimes brings people in a way which is roundabout. He doesn't bring people directly. The Rambam is saying, don't have this claim on me. What are you saying about God? Because the Torah itself says it about God. The same way that he brought them off, he deterred them from the Derech HaMelech, the straight way. This was the initial intention. Of course, God's initial intention was to bring the Jewish people straight to Eretz Yisrael. El Derech HaCheres. but he gave them a detour to turn them to another way. Because he knew, but Derech HaTev knew that naturally the Jewish people would not have been able to be resilient, and they would not have lasted, right? Had they gone directly, because God eventually wants to bring them to Eretz Yisrael, he wants to bring them to Israel. If he brings them directly, they'll turn back. Can he tell us? Okay, so in other words, basically, God did not wish to directly fight the nature of the Jewish people as it was at that time, but rather, in order to eventually bring the Jewish people to the land of Israel, he brought them, he took them around the circuitous route, right? Because he felt this would be a safer way of bringing them eventually to the initial purpose. Can he tell us a mitzvah shos kano, says the Rambam, but the same way the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't bring them to Eretz to Eretz Plishtim, this in the same way he commanded these mitzvahs to the Jewish people. Because he understood, right, that if he commanded them in any other way, there would be no, based upon teva, based upon the natural psyche, the natural makeup of a person, they would not be able to emotionally, right, worship God had it not been for the circuitous fashion. Kodesh Baruch wants the Jewish people to fulfill his initial plan, which is apprehending God and the abandonment of idolatry. Just like a person cannot grow up as a slave working in bricks and mortar, this refers to the enslavement in Mitzrayim in Egypt. And he couldn't just wash his hands and, you know, engage himself with the giants. So therefore a person cannot immediately, in other words, cannot be brought up in a paganistic, idolatrous culture with all the religious symbolism, right? And they can't basically stop, right, on a coin and abandon everything completely and what? And direct themselves directly to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Just like Kodesh Baruch Hu deterred them, gave them a detour in order for them to basically amalgamate strength, to grow stronger. Because when you go through the you're going through, you know, boot camp, and you go to the desert, so this builds a person, that makes them stronger. This is basically what God commanded them in the desert on page 535. They encamped and they traveled according to the word of God. As the Meresh Hashem Shem Wapi Hashem Yad Moshe. In other words, Kodesh Baruch Hu directed them through the desert, and the Rambam is really saying he directed the desert in order that they should gain strength, that they should basically accustom themselves to a certain type of living. So therefore, in the same way, Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded us the precepts, Kadesh Yisharu Am Min Asiya, Shehayu Bugalam Elav. So basically, they can in a natural way be brought to what's called the Kavod Rishona, the first intention, which is the main purpose of the mitzvahs. Okay, so what has the Rambam done? He hasn't really given us an answer, a theological answer, but he's given us a precedent. In other words, it's interesting that the Rambam actually has used this several times before. When faced with a very difficult issue, right, and trying to understand and trying to accept the Rambam's assertion, first he says, well, what do you want from me? The Torah says it. That's number one. And right now the Torah says it, I can try to understand theologically why it should be true. So, in other words, the Rambam is a little bit of a nasa v'nishma. In other words, the Rambam. You know, basically, don't accuse me of saying anything because the Torah itself says what I'm saying. If you look at the Torah says what I'm saying. Now that the Torah says what I'm saying, and you understand that what I'm saying is based upon a reading of the text, which is really the ultimate authority, now we get what's called Dasa v'Nishma. Now we said Nasa, we've accepted what the meanings of the verses are. Nishma, we try to understand the verses and try to come up with a philosophical, theological underpinning reason, right, why in fact things are like this. So that's going to be the next group of questions that the Rambam is going to address. Okay, so now comes the theological question. In other words, what's preventing God from doing this? Why can't God give us an entirely different nature that we can accept the precepts as direct worship and not have to go through such a circuitous route? So there's a second question, says the Rambam, which follows from this question. Let's go back to the first pasuk. I mean, it's really the same question. In other words, let's ask the same question on the pasuk. It says the Kodesh Baruch Hu did not bring the Jewish people through the Derech Plitzchon, the way of the Philistines. So in other words, let's ask the question there. Right? Why didn't God basically give the people the courage, change the psyche of the Jewish people, give them strength of character that they should go directly through the Eretz Plishtim? He should have given the people, you know, just like in the Wizard of Oz, they gave the lion a heart. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have given the people. Who got the heart?
Woodman.
Lion got something. He got a medallion.
Yeah, cursed. Woodman got the
heart. Okay, whatever. Someone got a medallion. Someone was afraid.
Lion.
Anyway, the lion was afraid, right? So in other words, here too, why did he give the Jewish people strength of character, strength of heart, that they could, you know, they could withstand the pressures of war? Why did they need a pillar of a cloud in the daytime? The pillar of fire at night, this entire journey through the Midbar, because Baruch should just have changed the human nature, has given the Jewish people a strength of character, and lead them directly through Eretz Plishtim. So in other words, basically, this is the philosophical issue. In other words, what the Rambam is saying is that don't ask me what I'm saying. The Torah says the same thing when they left Mitzrayim. So now comes the question is, what the Rambam is saying is, don't ask the question on me, it's the question of the Torah. It's always good when you can transfer a question on you to the question of the Torah. In other words, if it's a question on me, you can say, well, who needs you? It's fine. But if the Torah is saying the same thing, that's a serious question. Why did the Torah tell us that a Kodesh Baruch Hu cannot bring the Jewish people down to the Plishtim? Why not? So what, they're afraid of war? Let a Kodesh Baruch Hu change the nature of the Jewish people. Let him make the Jewish people braver, right, in confronting the challenges of war. So, that's the Rambam says. Okay, now. Says the Rambam, I can ask you a better question. Why does the Torah have to promise punishment and reward? In other words, if the Torah, as the Rambam says many places, those of you who are probably most familiar with his introduction to Parachelik, his commentary on the Mishnah, the Rambam says, what's the purpose of mitzvahs to bring us to the truth? If the purpose of mitzvahs to bring us to truth, to spiritual truth, to metaphysical, philosophical, and spiritual truth, right, why do I need punishment, threats, promises of reward? Let people follow the truth. Since the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us that we should believe in the Torah and do it, so we should always have the ability to do so. Why does God have to reward us when we listen to him? Why does he have to punish us? Why does God have to bother with punishing and rewarding us? Why can't he just command us and we just can't listen? Let's directly listen to God. Let God give us the spiritual, intellectual, and emotional capacity to directly listen to him, and not to have to persevere punishment and tragedy in the entire course of Jewish history. Let us just listen to God. So says the Rambam. In other words, says the Rambam, we're asking a general question. Why do we need punishment? Why do we need tragedy? Let's just let God make it, and we'll just listen to him. Just give us a spiritual nature. Give us a pure heart.
Why is this a more valid question than asking why nature is the way it is? Because earlier we rejected questioning the realities of nature. We didn't want to question why a baby can't eat food.
Yeah.
Because that's the reality.
I think,
why can't we say that this is also just the way it is? Well,
the Rambam is going to say that, but I think the Rambam understands that most people at his time accepted the fact that the way, you know, that there's a rationale to nature and it works the way it works. In other words,
it's not a rationale. We can handle it because we're used to it.
Okay, that's what the Rambam is saying. In other words, the question is, what's the mindset of people? Ultimately, the Rambam understands that there should be no difference between the two, except that what people think scientifically one way and religiously another way. In other words, most people tend to look at nature in a more of a less scientific way because people they're brought up in a, let's say, in a culture which values the rational understanding of natural processes. But most people tend to look at religion in a very irrational way. The Rambam is trying to make the two commensurable. So, in other words, the Rambam had no problems trying to convince people that nature is rational because people accept the fact that it's rational. In other words, the average person too. In other words, the average person too today, if you explain something scientifically in a rational way, so in science will accept it. If you try to explain something religious in a rational way, you'll say, Chas v'shalom, you have to sacrifice your intellect, you have to, basically null your cognitive functions in order to really become religious. Now, with some people basically lead some type of schizophrenic existences. That, in every aspect of their life, they try to do things with reason. And when it comes to, religion, they relegate religion to what's called a more irrational domain. And the Rambam, in other words, so I think what the Rambam is just saying over here is that, in other words, that's number one. Number two, the Rambam is saying is that even, if you accept the fact that, if you're shocked with what I'm saying about the reason for the mitzvahs, but let's ask a more general question. In other words, why does a Kaddish Baruch Hu have to bother with threats and punishments and catastrophes and holocausts and things of the sort? Why can't a Kaddish Baruch Hu, just have man, act or somehow consist of a much more of a spiritual makeup, and therefore there will be no need for all the tragedies in history? That's what the Rambam is saying. What the Rambam is saying basically is that you can ask a general question. Now, by asking the general question, the Rambam finds it much. In other words, when you think about it, we have a question on every aspect of God's relationship to the Jewish people. So I think that's really, and as an answer to that, I think that's really what the Rambam is doing. Okay, now the Rambam is going to now give answers to all these three questions. They're going to answer all these questions, and really, it's an incredible answer, because we're going to have to really, it'll take like another shiur to really, actually a week to really think about this, and we'll have to get back to it, Mitzvah Shem, in the next shiur, but they're going to get an incredible answer. This is an answer to all these three questions. And it's really one answer. Really, the three questions are really one question. Everything's similar to them. There's a general answer. In other words, Rambam says, I believe in miracles. God can change nature. What does it mean? He can split the Yam Suf, he can split the Red Sea, right? He can make water gush out forth from a rock. But there was, he can change nature. It's interesting. He can change nature. On a one-time basis. It's not a permanent change. Rambam. Right, basically, that's the shit that impeded the Rambam regarding Olam Haba. Whatever it is, there was God can change nature, which means God can create, can cause miracles. God will not change the nature of man in any miracle. No, there are no miracles which change the nature of man. The Rambam is being very, very radical, very, very, in other words, definite about this. God will not change the nature of any person in a miraculous way. And the Rambam says, Biglali kona gon lazet. This is a dikolai. Very interesting. It's a fundamental postulate. The fundamental postulate is people's natures don't change, are not changed by God. God will not change people's natures. Says the Rambam, this is an ikar gadol. In fact, he uses this lashon actually in many places. For example, in Hilchos Teshuva, in Perkei, in Hilchos Teshuva, the Rambam speaks about free will as being an ikar gadol. Abar, it says, now Saddam says, you don't believe me that this is a fundamental thesis, a principle in the Torah. So he brings a pasuk, he brings a verse. Me ten v'yala vavim zeh lahem liyawisi. Says God, halavai, if only they would fear me. What do you mean if only they would fear you? So make them fear you. The Shemar is kol ha-mitzvah, kol ha-yom l'man yitam lahem l'vnei ha-moylam. In other words, God sighs. He says, if only they would fear me. What do you mean if they would fear me? God says, who, if only they would give it a heart to fear. Wait, give the hearts to fear. You made their hearts. What do we see from the Chumash? That God cannot cause people to fear him. Because of this fundamental fact that God cannot change human nature. So because of this, this char, this reward, this oynish, this punishment, the entire, everything in the Torah is based upon the fundamental principle that God will not, cannot change human nature. God himself says, I can't change them. They can't fear me. In fact, actually, this yisoid, this principle, is in many places, and actually the Rambam speaks about this. Actually, this is actually the concept of free will. God toes a line to man's free will. In Hilchos Teshuva, Perakei, in Shmoneh Prakim, Perakhes, we'll speak about this next time. Even in Perak Yud Zayin, Perak Gimel, and the Rambam understands that Tzchar V'Oidish had to be predicated upon man's free will. If a man has to have free will, therefore God has to reward and punish people based upon their actions. If God doesn't reward and punish people based upon their actions, then free will is a sham. What does free will mean? If a person does a commandment, a mitzvah, is punished, or he does an aveli, he does a prohibition, is rewarded. In other words, God, in a certain sense, according to the Rambam, has to toe the line to man's nature, to his free will. And that's what the Rambam says is the Ika Gadol. This seems to be like the most fundamental principle in Judaism. Anyway, in any case, we're running out of time. There are very, very deep things to think about this. Obviously, we're going to devote a lot more time to understanding this tremendous Ikala, which the Rambam understands to be the rigid designator of all of theology, of an understanding of man's relationship to God and to the Creator. And all of this will be Hashem. Try to follow up to in the next lecture, but until then, from the undisclosed place in Yerushalayim Yom HaKodesh, we bid everybody Haslacha Rabbah v'chol tov.